Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome into No Nonsense, a Tennessee Titans podcast. I'm your host, Matthias Wadner, along with my co-host, Will Lomas, as always. And we're back to recap the Titans' 19-10 win over the Indianapolis Colts. They complete the season sweep of the Colts, and I think they've won five straight, I think it is, against the Colts over the past couple of seasons. So they pretty much own them at this point, and it feels good because I'm sure we're going to talk about it at some point in the podcast, but man, the hype the Colts have gotten every single offseason since Chris Ballard has been the GM there has been absurd, honestly, because they've never done anything. Their best quarterback has been Phillip Rivers over the past like 5 years, which is crazy. But anyway, it just felt good to get that win over the Colts, and I'm sure you're elated after after not only we won, Matt Ryan got benched as well.
Yeah, it's a weird thing because I don't think Sam Ehlinger's the answer or anything like that. Like that will never be like something I'm afraid of. That's the Rusty Smith effect. But I don't know. Eventually, this won't be right, and you know, what we're seeing is what we're getting, and you know, the Titans will do stuff in the offseason that doesn't make sense, and it won't always work out, and other teams will spend a lot of money and they will get better. But between the Texans and the Jaguars and the Colts, like the whole offseason, them just rotating, the wow, is Davis Mills, if he was in this draft, he'd have been a top 10 pick, which we heard a lot. And Trevor Lawrence is going to take huge steps forward. And the Jaguars look like a team to beat. Like they're playing against Philly, and both teams look exactly the same.
Why does this division always gets hyped up for no reason? Like, it sucks, and it has sucked for the past 5 to 7 years, and people keep trying to make this seem like everyone's going to challenge the Titans, and it just doesn't happen. It hasn't happened for the past 4 or so years or something like that.
Yeah, you know, I kind of relate it to Baltimore in the North, although even them, like, they rotate with the Steelers and stuff, but it's like year after year, like, the Steelers and the Ravens are pretty consistent, so that's why teams like the Bengals and the Browns, when they do things, they get, you know, everybody, you know, puts all their attention on them, and so people want somebody new or whatever, but I just don't get it. Like, I mean, there's a lot we can talk about because and I won't dig too much into this right now. We can talk about it later, just about Vrabel, but it's so much smoke and mirrors with all these other teams. It's, you know, well, it's okay to pay an off-ball linebacker and a guard $20 million a year if you're the Colts, because you guys got to understand, you know, they're the Colts. Like, these guys are future Hall of Famers. And then, you know, Shaq Leonard doesn't play again. Like, and he's got a concussion and back problems or whatever, but that doesn't change the fact that they just paid him $20 million. Like, if you did that, if Derrick Henry did that and he was getting injured every other game, like, that would be a talking point that people brought up. And then Nelson is getting thrown around the house like he's a rag doll. and not just one, but in, you know, both of the Titans matchups with him this year, and nobody's saying a word about it. And it's just like, there's so much ignorance is the wrong word, but it fits, where it's just, there's so much ignorance about the AFC South nationally that it's like they're handed talking points from Chris Ballard, which may just actually be what's happening. And it's like, this is why my team's good. And then because he spends the most time sucking up to the media and building those connections, however you want to phrase it, everybody just decides to talk themselves into the Colts. And, you know, okay, but year after year, it's the same thing. And, you know, it happens the same way. You know, the Colts, this is a big matchup. You know, if the Colts win this, it's going to be hard to overtake them because the Titans have a difficult schedule. Then the Titans win. Then, oh, this next time it's like, okay, well, you know, if the Colts get even, it's really like a 2-game swing for them because of how it would be, and the Titans win then. And then the week after, it's, do we need to change quarterbacks? This is a nightmare. It's the same thing year after year after year. And it happens in different ways, but the results are still the same. Like, you know, for years, it was the offensive line was going to be fine. They just needed a good quarterback. And now it's the wide receivers are good. You know, they just need their offensive line to hold up long enough for Matt Ryan to throw. And now it's just like they keep constantly changing and, you know, moving the goalpost to say, like, okay, they solved this problem. But actually, I'm talking a lot here because there's so much to say about the Colts. And we've talked a lot about how they're overhyped every season. But as for this specific game, It was great to see because it seemed like maybe the Colts had figured out, okay, if we throw the ball 50 times, that's the key, you know, that'll fix our problems. And, you know, it kind of made sense because the Titans were so committed to stopping the running game the last time they played that, you know, that might have worked. But, you know, the Titans instantly shut that down and had a plan for that. And, you know, it was a great day for them. So, the long and the short of it is the Titans continue to own the Colts, and regardless of what changes over the next 12 months, the assumption should be that the Titans will own the Colts again next year, because that's what we should have learned.
Yeah, you touched on a lot of things, and we definitely had the Titans being on top of the AFC South with Matt Ryan being benched for Sam Ellinger as Ellinger. I don't know. Whatever. We definitely had that as a talking point, and I think it kind of coincides with this Titans win over the Colts. There was a moment in the game where I started to get a little worried. I was like, we might maybe lose this game, but not really. Like, it wasn't really ever in doubt because the Titans defense was just playing absolutely lights out. They had the perfect game plan against the Colts. They let Paris Campbell catch whatever 10 balls for 70 yards, which doesn't do anything to you. Like, that doesn't hurt you. And they really clamped down on the same type of game plan that the Colts had against the Jaguars that worked really well with a lot of crossing routes and stuff across the middle. But the Titans just didn't let that happen. Almost all of Campbell's catches were like in the flat and almost near the line of scrimmage. And there really wasn't too much that the Colts could really do damage with. They didn't get Alec Pierce involved, which was a little bit surprising because he's been their most consistent receiver. And then Pittman had, you know, one of his games where he's not used more than like 5 to 7 yards down the field. Super weird, but the Titans really had a good game plan on defense. They end up getting that pick six with Andrew Adams, who turned into Kevin Byard for a game. I don't know where that came from, especially because Amani Hooker was back from his injury and Adams was still playing so much. But he did so because he was playing fantastic. He had one of it. I mean, hit the best game I've ever seen from him. So that was awesome to see that the defense seems to. They're good. They're just very good. They get so much pass rush with that front four. Bud Dupree was back, and he looked awesome, which we've kind of been waiting to see since he got here, really. We just haven't been able to see it because of injuries and that long recovery from his ACL that kind of seeped into last season. But yeah, the defense is awesome. Denico Autry is a stud. Jeffrey Simmons is a stud. Got a little scared when he got injured there. Towards the end, but I think he came back in the game, right?
Yeah. Ben Jones went out of play. Simmons went out, I think, basically everybody came back in. Like, I think they missed, a combined, six plays between them. It was – and not only did Simmons come back in, but he, made a tackle. He did it all game, but there was, a little dump-off over the middle, and, the running back didn't go down, and on first contact, and he just washed over him like a wave. And then he kind of laid there for a second, and then he got back up, and I was like, oh, please don't get hurt.
He's – that man is a stud. There's no other word to describe him. I mean, I don't know. I think the only defensive tackle I'd take over him right now is Aaron Donald, and given that Aaron Donald is already 30, I think Simmons is probably the guy you want, the number one defensive tackle you want on your team for the foreseeable future. And it's crazy that he's on our team, and you really can't build a defense around him, which is kind of what the Titans have done. So definitely a lot of positives there. The offense was gross, I think. I don't know. They weren't really needed, because the Colts offense just wasn't getting much done, and the Titans defense ended up scoring that pick six, and it kind of almost put the game out of reach really quickly. So the offense wasn't needed much. I thought Henry looked as good as he has the past couple of weeks. He continues to just destroy the Colts. It's beautiful. He always plays well against them. Tannehill ends up getting injured in this game. He was in a walking boot after the game. I don't know if he's gonna play next week. We'll talk about it in a little bit. But the offense really wasn't needed too much. But there's still stuff that we're seeing that's bad. Like, Dennis Daly cannot continue to play. He is terrible. He's just terrible. He's a backup level tackle, and almost not even backup level. He might be third string level at this point. I mean, I don't know why he keeps playing. They got to find a different solution there, but I don't know if they will, because, you know, Mike Vrabel is loyal to these bad players for whatever reason. But yeah, that's bad. And then the receiving core is just destroyed. They had four active receivers in this game, and they were barely used. Like, Robert Woods doesn't look up to speed. He doesn't look like his normal self. Cody Hollister and Austin Hooper paced the Titans in this game. Austin Hooper had a really good game, had a great catch. But what do you think about the offense, and is the defense just going to have to carry this team for the rest of the season? Is that how it is?
Well, it's weird, right? Because we spent, the last 2 weeks, everybody talked about the red zone efficiency, the red zone efficiency, and all the Titans have to do is get the ball close to the red zone, and then, they'll put up 30 points a game. And it's like, well, they had four field goals this game. Like, you had to be pretty close. Like, the drive stalled out because of bad play calling, and they should have had another drive where they scored points when Malik Willis fumbled the ball on that, or bad handoff or whatever. It looked like he bubbled out a little bit when the ball was snapped. It looked like he bounced away from the line of scrimmage about a step, if you go back and watch it. But I don't know if that was by design or if that was just a mistake because he's a quarterback and he shouldn't be running a jet sweep. But that, they did what they wanted to do, which is move the ball more effectively. And they had some down the field passes. Hollister had a big one to open the game and set up the first field goal, and then Hooper had his two big ones, and then his one that he caught that was, a catch for no gain that he turned into an 11-yard gain on 3rd and 10. So that was good. So again, I wish they could do multiple things right each week, because I would like to have seen them turn two of the, because there were opportunities for them to score, and then Hilliard had two drops on one. It was a first down, second down, third down, and he had drops on first and third down, I believe, in the red zone. And one of them was, it would have been a hard catch to make. When you go back, everybody in the crowd, kind of gasped like it was going to be picked. But if you look back, the defensive back can't get to it. It bounces off of Hilliard's hands, and, nine times out of ten, he makes that catch. And then another time he just kind of got rattled because the guy was right behind him, and it would have been 4th and 1. And then again, you know, Raidens, who had a great day, and we'll talk about him in a little bit, but he had that false start on 4th and 1 on, like, inside the 5 or whatever it was. So there were times when they could have been, if they were cleaner, they would have scored more touchdowns and they would have beaten the Colts, you know, 30 to 10 or whatever. But, you know, if you can win a game 19 to 10, great. You know, it's a 2-possession game. You pretty much control the other team's defense or offense with your defense, and you never have to really overexert yourself. But I'm sure there's plenty of plays they want back, and they would like to have their quarterback not get hurt for the whole fourth quarter.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the next, like, fixable thing for the Titans going forward. The offense hasn't been great this whole season, but you really need to turn some of those field goal attempts into touchdowns, especially going deeper into the year and especially in the playoffs. Like, I don't think you're going to win too many games in the playoffs if you're settling for field goals, because that's just it's not going to be able to hold up. Thankfully, the NFL sucks right now, so it might get you a win in the playoffs, but then you start playing some of the elite offenses like the Bills, the Chiefs, the Bengals right now are cooking on offense. And it's really going to be tough to to kind of keep pace with those types of teams. But, I mean, until they get there, they'll probably be fine because the rest of the NFL right now just isn't scoring a lot of points. We're in, like, a severe points drought right now where defenses are just playing well and offenses are playing awful. And it's kind of the recipe for the Titans to win games. And it's why they've won 4 straight. It's why they're probably going to end up winning the AFC South, just because they're not terrible and they don't commit too many mistakes. And they're good enough to just get by in a lot of these games. And their schedule isn't as daunting as we initially thought. So feel good about the Titans going forward. I feel better because the AFC South, man, like, we talked a little bit about it at the beginning that, you know, they always try to hype up this division. They try to hype up the Colts. They try to hype up the Jaguars. The Texans, not really. I feel like most of everyone was just like, no, not really. Although they had a couple of games at the beginning of the year that made you a little optimistic about them, that they could hold their own. And they've been in games, but they just don't have enough talent, and they don't have a good quarterback, so they're obviously not a threat. I think they're 1-5-1 right now. We're going to talk a little bit about them in a little bit because they're the next opponent for the Titans, but that should be a win for the Titans, and the Texans aren't a threat at all in the AFC South. The Jaguars aren't either. They keep losing games. Like, they had a fun little start at the beginning of the year, and they looked like an up-and-coming offense with Trevor Lawrence having 1 or 2 good games. They crushed the Chargers, who, by the way, are terrible. Like, just a terrible team. I don't even know how they've won 4 games, to be honest. And Doug Peterson is kind of finding the sledding a little bit more difficult than at the beginning of the season. And they just traded away James Robinson, who has been a kind of a cog in their offense over the past few years before that Achilles tear that he had. They completely phased him out. Etienne looks good. He looks explosive. But kind of a weird situation there with trading away Robinson. They're 2-5. They don't really seem like too much of a threat. And then we've already beaten the Colts twice, and they just benched Matt Ryan for Sam Ehlinger. So, I mean, this is the Titans division to win easily. I think it would have to be a complete implosion on the Titans' part. Maybe if Tannehill is out for several weeks. I don't think so. It doesn't seem like his injury is that bad. And even if he's out, I feel like Willis can kind of carry the offense at least. I don't think he needs to do much because Tannehill isn't really doing much. They're just winning with defense and a really good running game because Derrick Henry looks great and the offensive line is run blocking well. Yeah, I mean, the AFC South is the Titans to lose. I don't think they're going to give it up. And then it comes down to what seed they get. I think the Bills and the Chiefs are going to end up with the top 2 seeds. But the Titans are right there to snag that 3rd, which is a good seed in this AFC.
Yeah, like, there's only one bye week now. You know, I think everybody knows that, but it's been a while since we talked about the playoffs just in general because it's, you know, only October. But there's only one bye week, so 2 and 7 are the same. You know, it's like you get to host a playoff game, and that's cool, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. But, the, you know, the most important number is the number of games you play. So if there's one, and then there's kind of everybody else. So, you know, like, I'm always very hesitant to count chickens before they hatch and all that. So I'm not, you know, I'm not going to say the whole, like, the Titans, you can't catch them or anything like that. But I don't know a strong argument that for anybody to catch the Titans. Because even when the Jaguars beat the Colts, or sorry, when they beat the Chargers, like we just, like you just talked about, they're not good now, and they were worse then. Like, Keenan Allen wasn't in. Bosa, like, started the game and left, so they didn't have a plan for him. They lost their starting left tackle, I believe, that same game, too. So, and I don't know if Derwin James got banged up in that game. That may just be me conflating the last few years with that game, too. But regardless, like, in Herbert, I don't know if I said that, you know, he has his cracked ribs, and, you know, they were making him play, and he was barely making it through, and that was his first game back. So, you know,
he's not playing well. Like, I don't know if he's injured or the offense is bad in general, yeah. The scheme, but he does not look like a top five. He doesn't look like a top 10 quarterback right now.
Well, I mean, for most of his career, he's had a healthy Mike Williams and a healthy Keenan Allen and a healthy Austin Eckler. And it's like, you know, when you've got, you know, everybody complains, oh, poor Justin Herbert, his offensive line's not great. Okay, that's fine. But he's always had enough weapons to where you can't really blitz him because he can just dump it off for a screen pass to one of the best receiving backs in the NFL, or he could just run crawl. Like, that offense has been so easy to run. And I'm not saying that he's an illusion or anything like that. He's great. And when they let him take shots downfield, that's great. But if you're going to call plays where you're taking shots downfield, you're going to leave your ribs exposed and you're going to get cracked. And so when you've got rib issues, you really can't do the one thing that makes you special. And that's kind of where they are now. But, you know, going back to the AFC South, like, I think everybody expected Davis Mills to be better. And then 2 games into the season, it was clear that he'd gotten worse, or at the very least stayed the same. But I would argue he's gotten worse. So the shine kind of went off of that apple really quick. So, you know, you're back to the Colts, which they would have to win what? They'd have to have 1 game, a better record than us. And I believe the NFL counts wins, not losses. So they would have to have 1 more win than us, despite the fact that they already have a tie. So that would be a difficult ask for them anyway. So I would say that the numbers suggest that the Titans will make the playoffs, and, you know, where they are in seeding and all that, you know, that'll be a question for a different day. But yeah, like, you have to feel pretty good about the way the Titans answered these challenges, because even as soon as last year or the year before, the Titans would drop one of these games. Like, the Titans would lose a close game to somebody they didn't have any business losing to. And, you know, we talked about
it. It's so true. We completely forgot about that. they have not been losing the games that they're supposed to lose.
I think we've literally lost to the Texans every year Mike Vrabel's been the head coach. Maybe there was 1 year. No, we didn't lose to him the year when it went to overtime, and when they had that crazy game where it was like the first time in Titans history where we had a 300-yard passer. I want to say it might have been a 200-yard rusher and a 100-yard receiver or something crazy like that. It was just bananas, like, stats, and that they did that, and it was Watson's last game in Nissan. So I remember that, but last year they lost to him in that terrible rain game. And then the year before that, that was the game where the ball bounced, like, off of Jonnu's chest or whatever, or it was off of Firkser's chest, and it went directly to the defender who, like, took it 90 yards to, like, the 10-yard line. And then they lost that game in a 1-score game. So the Texans have really been the Titans' kryptonite more than anything else over the last few years. So that brings us back to this weekend and how they just need to make sure they keep their foot on the gas, because, again, we've seen this team lose to a lot of bad teams in the past, because as much as Vrabel likes pitching, being the underdog, it's hard to pitch the underdog when you're playing a two-win team or a one-win team, and we've seen them stumble a lot against those guys.
Yeah, it's very interesting that you brought up that the Titans just have not lost to these bad teams, which has become – it was a staple. It was a staple of the Mike Vrabel Titans that they would beat the elite teams in the NFL when they were underdogs, and they would lose games that everyone expected them to win against lesser teams. That's just not happening this year. I mean, they lost to the Giants, and it looked like it was the same Vrabel's Titans. But it's not. The Giants are really good. They're one of the best teams in the NFL right now. They're beating everyone. They beat the Ravens. They just beat the Jaguars. Obviously, the Jaguars aren't good, but they've only lost one game. Brian Daboll's doing a terrific coaching job there. Then we get trounced by the Buffalo Bills. That looked like a game that the Vrabel's Titans of the past would end up winning. You know, huge underdog coming in with adversity. They've just won that game in past seasons, but did not happen this year. They got absolutely crushed. And then, you know, the games against the bad teams come around, and they just keep winning. They keep winning by, like, a touchdown or 9 points or whatever it is. But they're finding ways to win, and it seems like the Titans have gone in a completely different direction as a team in terms of winning games that they had in previous seasons. So we'll see if that continues. They have a couple of games coming up that are easy and other ones that are supposed to be probably losses for them. I would say the game in Kansas City and then the game in Philadelphia are probably – they're going to be big underdogs in those. But then they got games against the Texans, the Broncos that are terrible. The Green Bay one might be a toss-up. The Bengals one might be a toss-up. But they get the Jaguars, Texans again, and the Jaguars again. So – we'll see what type of Titans team we get over these next couple of weeks, but it'll be interesting to see how they do. We're going to take an ad break here, and then we're going to come back and break down the Houston Texans a little bit more, the Titans Week 8 opponent.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back into No Nonsense, a Tennessee Titans podcast. So the Titans now at 4-2 out of their bye week. They get a win against the Colts, and now they come up against the Houston Texans. They have to travel to Houston for this one, 4 p.m. Well, 3 p.m. For you guys, 4 p.m. for me on the East Coast game. Kind of weird that they made this an afternoon game. I don't know why. I guess they're just splitting up some of these times for whatever reason. But I feel like the Titans and Texans have always played at 1 p.m., 12 p.m. for you guys. So that was a little bit weird. I wasn't expecting that late window game for the Titans. But at least it means there will probably be less games to keep an eye on, and we could just focus completely on the Titans. So going into this game, I mean, I don't know. Like, I'm not going to do the I would be shocked if the Titans lose this game, but I would be very shocked if the Titans lose this game. I don't really see it happening. Maybe it does, you know, but like we just talked about before the ad break, the Titans have not lost to teams that are bad this year. It just has not happened, and it seems like they've done a 180 from the previous seasons where they've lost to the likes of a terrible Jets team or even – Texans teams that haven't been good in the past. It happened with the Colts as well. I feel like the Titans are going to go there. It might be a close game. it might be, just because the Titans don't like to blow anyone out. And Tannehill's probably going to be gimpy, so I don't know how great the offense is going to be running. But, I mean, this is a game that the Titans should and probably will win.
Yeah, like, again, I'm always very hesitant because, you know, I hate putting my foot in my mouth. But this is a game that sets up perfectly for the Titans, even if Tannehill's hurt. Like, the Texans ranked 32nd in the league in rushing yards allowed. Like,
awful run defense. I mean, like, truly terrible.
Who knows what'll happen with this Titans strength and conditioning staff and who they'll decide to hurt this week. But if by some miracle Nate Davis still exists, and if Torrey Carter comes back, then, they should just run the ball over and over. I mean, it should be 25 carries for Henry, 15 carries for Haskins, and then have 10 plays where it's a design Malik Willis run. Like, I saw everybody, there was sort of a back and forth on Twitter between Titans fans and analysts and all that last week, where everybody was saying, well, you wanted to see like a Taysom Hill package for Malik Willis, and then he comes out and he fumbles. And it's like, yeah, but that's not what Taysom Hill typically does. Like, what Taysom Hill typically does is he takes the ball at a shotgun, and then he either rolls one way or the other and runs or pat. Like, it's not, we're going to give it to him as a true running back, like, or we're going to treat him as a jet sweep, like wide receiver, like that. Like, he's not Percy Harvin. So
he's a wildcat quarterback, pretty much.
Yeah. Like, yeah, he's not Debo. He's not Percy Harvin for the old school people like me. Like, yeah, he's a wildcat quarterback. And I don't mean that in a derogatory way that he'll never be a starting quarterback, but you know, we saw him in the preseason. Like, we're away from the preseason now. We can all admit what he was, and that was he was, when he worked his best, was when he was a one-read, protect the ball and escape up in the pocket if you see a lane. But sitting back and going through three reads didn't work for him, even when there was protection, which, granted, there wasn't a lot of good protection in the preseason games. But, you know, you're playing against faster defensive backs, less wide-open people, like, you've got to make quicker decisions in the regular season, so, and they're going to scheme for you. So I don't think that part's going to get any easier. I think what you can do is you can have him line up with, you know, four wide receivers and say, okay, if my pre-snap read takes me here, I'm going to go there, and I'm going to look at it as soon as the ball's snapped, and if it's not there, I'm tucking it and running. But at least that forces the defense to play you more honest than a wildcat quarterback situation with Derrick Henry would. So, like, I would not mind seeing that at all this week. We'll kind of see what happens with Tannehill and where they go. The Titans and basically every, you know, like Jim White and like a lot of people like close to the team have, you know, seemingly downplayed the injury. You know, Mike Vrabel said it was fine on Monday after the game. And, you know, he said he's progressing and we'll see where he is Monday or Wednesday. Now, again, that means that you have to rely on somebody with a medical degree in that facility to tell you that. And I'm not sure any of the strength and conditioning or the training staff has a medical degree, but, you know, allegedly. But I don't know. Like, I don't know if it's worth playing him. But again, you don't want to lose the games you should win, because that's a slippery slope. Like, if you're, you know, if you lose this week because you're, you know, you rest Tannehill and Willis goes out and throws an interception and fumbles it and doesn't do anything, you know, spectacular, and then you watch like the Colts and the Jaguars win games, it's like, well, now all of a sudden there's a lot more heat down the back of your neck and you don't have wiggle room going into Kansas City, Denver, and Green Bay. So as much as this isn't like a must-win game or anything, it's one of those that you kind of have penciled in and you need to make sure you take care of business. So it's stressful, because like, at least when you play the Colts or when you play like Buffalo, or if we knew we were playing the Giants and that was coming up, you can say, okay, if they play well, they can beat this team. If they don't, they'll lose. But either way, this is one you didn't have penciled in as a win going in. And, you know, if you win, it's just bonus credit. If not, it's kind of what you were expecting. But this is not one of those games. This is one of those games where for the next 11 and a half months, people say, yeah, they're the Titans, and they were the number one seed in the AFC, but they lost to the Texans and they lost to the Jets. How much can you really trust this team? Like, it's one of those kinds of games. So we'll see where it goes. But I mean, everything on paper, the fact that they're so bad on rush defense, the fact that they're not explosive at all on offense. It may seem like an understatement just with how their games have been, but they're just not very fun in any way. Like, they want to be the Titans, and they've got Pierce who's good, but I mean, he's not an explosive, like, consistent home run hitter. He's kind of a, like, Marshawn Lynch, but slower, I guess. Like, I don't really know how to describe him. Like, he needs to, like, have those physical carries, and maybe he'll break one for a long run in the end, but he's not like a burner or anything like that. Like, he's really only going to get you if you put eight in the box and everybody misses.
Yeah. I mean, Dameon Pierce is really their only form of offense at this point. Brandon Cooks, he hasn't gotten phased out, but he's just not a big part of what they're doing. And it seems like he's probably going to get traded before the trade deadline, which, when is that, by the way? Is that within the next couple of weeks?
It's next week. It's next week. So it's I think it's November 1st, which I believe is next Tuesday. So the next time we talk to you, the Titans will already have all their Pro Bowl receivers that they traded
for.
Sure.
What that means is the Texans are going to showcase Brandon Cooks for 200 yards against the Titans, and then they're going to trade him away. Just kidding. Everyone relax. But as I was saying, Brandon Cooks really hasn't done much this season for the Texans. He hasn't really been a huge part of their offensive game plans. Nico Collins, their big athletic receiver, who's pretty good at contested catches, kind of like a Mac Hollins type of player, maybe could have given the Titans some fits, but I'm pretty sure he got injured this past week. I think he had a groin injury. I'm not sure if he's going to play in this game. And then you go back to their other players. I mean, it's Jordan Akins. It's Chris Moore, Brevin Jordan, former Miami Hurricane. Not very good so far. OJ Howard, we all know about him. This is a bad team. Like, their only really good offensive player is Dameon Pierce, and he definitely can move the chains, but like you said, he's not super explosive. He breaks a lot of tackles, but the Titans play really good run defense. They have pretty much all season, except for, I'd say, week one against Saquon, although they kind of had him bottled up in the first half, and then I don't know what happened in the second half. Saquon just turned into, I mean, Saquon has been like top one running back this year, so I really can't fault the Titans run defense too much there. But yeah, the Titans have been really stout, and when they want to sell out and really stop the run like they did against the Colts and Jonathan Taylor a couple weeks ago, we saw what they could do. They held him to like under 30 yards, I think it was, or something like that. They just completely bottled him up, and they really could do that against the Texans if they truly wanted to. And I don't think any of the Texans' ancillary outside receivers can do much damage. But, you know, obviously that means that Brandon Cooks is going to have a 100-plus yard game just because I said that. But I don't know. I just don't see this team giving the Titans too much trouble. And even on defense, like, they're schemed up relatively well, and they've had some good games, but they also just gave up 38 points to the Raiders. They gave up 34 points to the Chargers offense that has not looked good against almost any other team. They gave up 23 points to the Chicago Bears, who looked like one of the worst offenses in the league up until this last Monday night game against the Patriots, I don't know what that was about. But the Texans defense isn't overly good, and like you said before, their rush defense is atrocious, literally like the worst in the league. I think the only other team that could give them a run for their money is the Chargers, but I mean, this is a game that Derrick Henry should absolutely go off, and he probably will, given how he's playing, given how the offensive line is playing, and given how many touches they're probably going to give to him in this game with Tannehill hobbled and potentially out of this game. I will say, if Malik Willis does play, this is the week, right? This is the week to play him. Like, the other team's run defense is awful. You have Derrick Henry in the backfield right next to him. You can run a lot of read option stuff. Willis is such a good runner. You could do a lot of power stuff with him as well, like the Bills do with Josh Allen. Like, this is the week to form a game plan around him and around the running game to get him a little bit of confidence and, if needed, for him to come out with a win for you if Tannehill can't go.
Yeah, it's a weird spot because I don't think Tannehill has any interest in not playing. Like, if he didn't want to play, he could have just sat out against the Colts. Like, they were already up by at least, I want to say they were up 19-10 when he got hurt. But, like, you know, they you know, he could have easily just said, look, I'm hurting. Like, you can spat me up, do whatever, but I'm not going back out there unless I absolutely have to. You know, not that he would ever say something, or not that a normal quarterback would, but if it was that bad, they could have held him out. And, you know, you can watch the Buffalo game, and somebody pointed this out to me too, where in the Buffalo game, when they decided to, like, let him sit and let Willis take the set, like, later in the second half because the game was just out of reach, like, you know, they didn't want Tannehill to get hurt in a game that didn't mean anything, and it wasn't that the offense wasn't producing, it was that the defense wasn't doing it either. So they were just getting stomped and pulled all their key starters out. So, you know, that's – and even then, like, Tannehill did not want to get taken out of that game. Like, he was arguing with Vrabel, and, you know, he was lobbying to go back in, blah, blah, blah. So I don't expect that there's any part of him that doesn't want to play. And on top of that, like, he's in a weird spot because everybody on the team praises how tough he is. You know, like, Jeffrey Simmons came out after the game and said, you know, he's, like, one of the toughest players on the team. Like, it's really rare that you have a quarterback that you can say that about. But Tannehill's, like, you know, he's one of the guys, and he's, you know, he's a physical dude, and it's hard. You know, he plays with that intensity. Like, you don't ever want to have a second of wavering in the locker room around you as a quarterback. And so the fact that he went back in, the fact that, you know, Vrabel kind of downplayed the injury, you know, I don't expect him to practice on Wednesday. I expected to say limited or did not practice on Wednesday and Thursday. And I expect Friday to be the day when we see, like, what, you know, if he's full, okay, cool. If he's not, whatever. If he's, you know, if he's limited, okay, maybe they split reps with him and let him start and do some stuff, but it's going to be, you know, 75% of the game plan is going to be a run or Malik Willis Wildcat. But I don't know. I, like, this is it, like you said, like, if you're going to play Willis, this is the week, because Grenard's on IR, like, their best pass rusher. And then, you know, the defense, Desmond King is cool, former Titan Desmond King, who I always loved. I'm glad he played here for a little bit, and he's done aggravatingly well for the Texans. But, you know, there's not a lot to worry about, you know, when you play that defense. So hopefully, you know, cross my fingers and, you know, put my hands together and pray and all that. But hopefully Nate Davis is back, and hopefully the Titans move Raidens over to left tackle where – and they take Daly out, because Daly's been atrocious. And I would have hoped that was one of the changes that would have been made if Nate Davis had played. But, you know, we didn't get that. But hopefully that's a change that they make, and they just go from there. And then they say, like, okay, you know, we're going to ease in this new offensive line for what we want it to look like the rest of the year. We're going to start slow with this game where we don't have to deal with any monster pass rushers. And then we'll see how it goes and move on from there. But if you've got Malik Willis and he's spinning into sacks, like, I don't think that helps you, like, in that scenario. And then if it doesn't work and he doesn't know to get rid of the ball, then you get him absolutely walloped. So I don't know. It's always a hard thing. There's no good time to play your backup quarterback unless you're in the middle of a game and you're up 40 points. So we'll see. And maybe that's how it goes. Maybe Derrick Henry rips off, you know, 280-yard gains, and he finally gets his big touchdown, so people can quit asking him that question, and then they control the game, and in the third quarter, they put Willis in, and it's all good. But we'll see how that goes as the week goes on. And for all the people who don't think Tannehill's going to play, I think it's going to be really hard to convince him not to play unless he's physically unable.
I want to ask you this, because I noticed something weird with Mike McDaniel, the Dolphins head coach, a couple weeks ago, when Tua was out with a concussion, and Teddy Bridgewater had gotten ruled out of a game with a concussion as well, although he didn't even have a concussion. The problem was he had to go through the protocol, and he couldn't take practice reps, so he pretty much gave Skylar Thompson, who played well in the preseason, their third-string quarterback, all of the practice reps and started him in the Sunday game because what he had said is that he doesn't want to play a quarterback that can't practice fully for the week. I thought that was very interesting. What are your thoughts on Tannehill not practicing for the whole week and not getting any reps? Would you rather just give Willis all of the reps since he's fully healthy and start him on Sunday, or do you not care? I think it's a different situation because obviously, like, backup quarterbacks, and Tannehill is established. He's already been in the offense, but I was just wondering if you have any sort of what you think of that.
Yeah, I don't think that Tannehill needs any sort of time or anything like that. Like, I think he would like to go through it just to feel familiar with it. But at this point, you know, they know what they have in Tannehill. Tannehill's been in this, you know, quote unquote offense for a year and a half now with Downing. Like, it's not like they're going to suddenly say, you know what, we're actually going to run a ton of five wide receiver sets. So, I would say
they don't have five wide receivers.
Yes. Yeah. That's a good point. They'd be forced to play people like Chigakonkwo and let them play and actually catch passes, which would be dangerous. So I don't expect it to be a big, like, fundamental shift. At the same time, like, I don't know how to read this, but when they talk about what Malik Willis does in practice, like, Mike Vrabel always talks about how, you know, he's running scout team and all that kind of stuff, which, you know, I guess you do because you don't want to waste reps with your one, you know, you don't have all the time that you do in training camp where you can spend a bunch of time in team with a whole first team and a whole second team. But I don't know, like, I'd be almost worried that he would mess up, like, you'd spend too much time working with him and not enough time working with everybody else, and that it would be too much, like, okay, what are we going to do to change it for you? And so I would almost, like, okay, so let's say that we don't think that they want to practice Tannehill for the first 2 days regardless, and you have to figure out what you're going to do with those reps. Like, I would still run the same type of practice, but as far as, you know, implementation and, like, what the game plan is going to be, I'm still planning like Tannehill is going to play. Like, I'm planning like, to, you know, I'm not going to run a practice where you're running 75% of your plays, you're running your wildcat and all that. Like, because I think Willis could fit in sort of spot duty just because I think that's what he's been working towards. But I don't know. Like, I don't know if that's a good answer to your question, but I don't care if my starting quarterback practices at all, just because once they've been with the team for a couple of years, the mental part of it's already, you know, kind of locked in. Like, we saw that in week one, right? Like, he didn't practice live action all training camp. Like, I mean, he did team stuff, but it wasn't like he was, you know, going out there and playing in the preseason game. So, you know, he didn't do any of that, but as soon as he got out there, you know, he threw two touchdown passes to Hilliard, and they had, like, more explosive passes than anybody else in the NFL, like, most 20 plus yard passes. So, you know, they were explosive without needing the, you know, quote unquote, like, practice reps of the preseason in the preseason game. So I trust Tannehill to be fine, whether he gets any practice or not.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think it's a big deal if he doesn't practice. More importantly, it's how he feels. Like, if he can't move without pain, then that's an issue, and probably just go with Malik Willis there. But even if he isn't a bunch of pain, I bet Tannehill wouldn't even say anything. We wouldn't even know. But we'll see what happens. So last topic I wanted to discuss before we get into Stop the Nonsense. Kyle Phillips got placed on IR after I think he had a hamstring injury. It's either the shoulder or the hamstring that he got placed on IR with. I don't know if there was a designation for that. My thing is the same thing that we've talked about for so long. how does the strength and conditioning staff still have their jobs? Like, I don't know what else has to happen. And I know that a lot of these injuries are just because of football. Football is a dangerous sport. It's very violent. Players are going to get injured. There's no doubt about it. You know, the Tannehill injury, that has nothing to do with the strength and conditioning staff because it got rolled up on. That happens all the time in football. But when you're adding to those injuries that are, you know, full contact injuries, you're adding to that these soft tissue injuries that just keep happening and keep happening. And it's just ridiculous at this point. Like, the Titans and the Chargers have to have the worst, fitness, training, eating programs that I've ever seen, because every single year for the past 2 to 3 to 4 years, they are at the very top of the list in terms of players getting injured, and every single year is the same thing, and nothing changes. And honestly, what does it hurt you to just try something new?
Yeah, like I said it today, the there's no direct correlation, but you always have to make sure I don't use correlation and causation in the wrong spot. There's no correlation between training staffs and soft tissue. Like, that's the thing we continue to hear, is that, like, there's no evidence that these and again, I said this in the tweet, stop right there. It's like, I understand what you're going to say. And if it's a fluke with a few guys getting injured, or a few guys getting injured at different positions, or just random ACL tears or whatever, the problem is, this was the most injured team in NFL history last year. They played more guys. They set a record for most players played. And this wasn't like, oh, by week 17, they barely scraped under. This was in like week 14. I mean, like, this would have been a record back when OJ, you know, when OJ was playing. So that is bad. That is a fireable offense already. To have it to be on the same pace again this year, you know, maybe they're just the most unlucky people in the world, but they should still be fired, because whatever they're doing is, it may not be hurting, but it's certainly not helping. And
That's the thing, right? Like, they're not helping to avoid injuries. I don't know if this it's their fault that players are getting injured, but they're not doing a very good job of avoiding injuries and also getting their players back as quickly as possible. We see so many injuries that linger for weeks, and some other players, like on some other teams, like Damian Harris for the Patriots, he pulled a hamstring. It was expected that he was going to miss multiple weeks. He's back within, he misses one game and he's back and as good as new for the next week. So I don't know.
Yeah. Like, it's not even like, okay, the injuries are bad. I don't want to downplay the injuries, because like that's the whole thing here, right? But it's not even just that the players are getting injured. It's that the injuries are taking longer to recover from than other people with the same injuries. Like Treylon Burks, turf toe, he should already be back. Like, they put him on IR, you know, what was it, before the Commanders game? Like, okay, you want to be safe. Fine, but there's really, like, he should be there now. Like, a good training staff, and maybe it's a severe injury, I don't know how you'd be able to tell that with turf toe, but maybe it's a more severe version. But then you look at Zach Cunningham, they misevaluated whatever his injury is, because he's not on injured reserve, and you know, he's missed the last three games, right? The Colts, Commanders, and Colts again, so he's missed those games. Like, that should have been a guy who goes on IR. Then you have there's somebody else who's Ola. There you go. Ola Adeniyi, who was inactive for like 3 weeks before they put him on IR because it was a neck thing, and it's a pain tolerance thing, or it's something where you're not sure how it'll heal up or whatever. But it's just like, I mean, what are we doing? I don't know. Like, it doesn't seem like this team is exceptionally strong. It doesn't seem like they're exceptionally fast. It doesn't seem like they're exceptionally healthy. It doesn't seem like they're maximizing their athletic ability. In what world is that you know, where is the positives to this strength and conditioning staff? Like, I don't understand it. Like, they misevaluate injuries all the time. Like, I don't understand. I say that, I understand. It's because the strength and conditioning staff is the one that Mike Vrabel brought in, and it's the Boston College guy who, you know, he knew from his ties to the area, and then, you know, he ended up, you know, Tyler Vrabel went to Boston College, so, you know, Vrabel's got Boston College connections that way, blah, 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 blah. Like, it's a guy he knows from an area he's familiar with, and as soon as you're in with Vrabel, you're in with Vrabel. So I understand why, but this is something where if you're Robinson, you have to pull rank and just say, look, like, he, you know, he's got to go. Like, it may not be now, but he can't come back. You know, he's getting, like, the list of young players who get injured on this team is astronomical. Kyle Phillips, who, you know, is being talked about a lot right now and for good reason, but he played in 30 of 31 games over his last 3 years. You know, and he was their leading receiver his final year. He was their punt returner forever. This is not a kid who they hid from contact. Like, he would run jet sweeps, and he would run, you know, plays into the line of scrimmage. Like, it's not like they were hiding him. And then he plays one game with the Titans, and now he's got a shoulder injury that rolls into a hamstring injury, and he's going to end up missing half the season between those two injuries alone. You know, you've got Treylon Burks, who played an SEC schedule, and had to grind out, you know, as the only focal point of the Arkansas offense. And we look at what Arkansas looks like now, like, you know, you can see they're struggling without a true wide receiver one on that team. And you, like, he didn't miss a game. You know, I do think he missed one game in his last 2 years, but he got hurt against Texas A&M, came back in, made big plays, like, gutted it out versus Alabama. Like, this is a dude who played hurt and did that all the time, and then now he's got turf toe and he's out longer than other people with turf toe. And I it sounds like we're beating a dead horse here, and at this point you either believe that the strength and conditioning staff is responsible or you don't. But nobody on earth can say that they're doing a positive job. The only thing you can say is that there might not be a direct link to them being liable for all these injuries, but again, that does not hint towards improvement, and that's the thing. It's like, even like, let's say they were taking swings and it was, you know, for every Kyle Phillips you had a Caleb Farley who was a freak athlete and who was, you know, looked even bigger and faster than he did in college. It's like, no, like, he looks slower. You know, it, like, all these guys look worse than they did in college and look slower. And, you know, when they make plays, they make plays, but it's not because they've suddenly gotten an athletic boost. So I just don't understand how you can defend these guys anymore.
Yeah. You said it as well as I possibly could, and I think you covered almost everything. There's just, they're pretty much a negative at this point. There's just no upside to what the strength and conditioning staff is bringing you. So, but no, it's not going to change because, like you said, once you're in with Vrabel, that's it. You're good. You're good almost for life at this point. So I don't expect anything to change. Just hopefully the Titans do their own strength and conditioning during the offseason and don't pay attention to what the Titans coaches are saying. But you're right also, like, this team is not very, like, physically imposing, and it doesn't seem like they're doing anything, but it is what it is. The Titans keep winning games despite that, and it's probably going to continue to happen. So, yeah, we're going to take one more ad break here, and then we're going to come back and wrap up with Stop the Nonsense. Welcome back in to No Nonsense, a Tennessee Titans podcast. Will, do you have a Stop the Nonsense for the crowd?
It's not a direct Stop the Nonsense, but I had other ones about, you know, it was going to be sort of dancing on the grave of, I was going to not do that, but you know what? It's too good. So, I went on a podcast earlier this year, in the off season, And I was asked to discuss the AFC South, and you know, it was me and three other guys who represented the AFC South teams. And you know, the Texans and the Jaguars kind of knew where they were. Like, the Texans knew that it was, look, they got the Browns picks. They're hoping for a terrible year from the Browns, and that Davis Mills might be a quarterback to you know, build around, whatever. Then you had Jaguars fans who thought it might be Trevor's year to come up, and that all that money on offense was going to make them look better, but that they didn't think that they were going to be better than a 6-win team or anything like that. Cool. I can understand that. I can see where the signs are pointing for that. But, you know, I'll call him an ambassador. I don't know what a better way to say it is. The spokesman for the Colts was so convinced that Matt Ryan, the audacity to believe that Matt Ryan wasn't miles above Ryan Tannehill at this point, and the idea that this wasn't going to be a bounce back year, and that the defense wasn't going to be even better in that now that Eberflus was gone, and that the offense wasn't going to take a monumental step forward, and we were going to get these huge breakout seasons, and Jonathan Taylor was so much better than Derrick Henry, that this was going to be a year where they hoped they didn't give him the ball enough times for him to get 2,000 yards, but that they might do it by accident because he's so good that, you know, even if you only give it to him 15 times a game, who knows how many yards you can get. Just these pipe dreams of hope and, you know, this is our year, and the Colts have had us the last 2 years, and it's not really fair because Carson Wentz, oh, that was just a mistake, but it was a good idea. And Phillip Rivers, oh, like, you know, he had him, but he just ran out of gas right at the like, – all these, like, nobody's had it as hard as us. We hurt – you know, Andrew Luck got hurt, and our fans booed him, and that was such a sad time for us. Just all these, like, little different pieces of, you know, excuse-making and building in, this is why we sucked, but these guys are actually great. And – how I believe I said that I thought the Titans would win 11 or 12 games this year. I was not expecting the Titans to have the same injury. I thought for sure that injury luck would meet back in the middle, and that, you know, we would have a decent year injury wise. It doesn't look like that's true, but regardless, and this was before we lost Harold Landry, but regardless, 11 to 12 wins was fair at the time. I think it's fair now, and all that. And he essentially said, whatever the Titans have, the Colts will have like one win better. Or just this, I don't know if he said it was 12 wins or what, but just all this stuff. And we are, what, 8 weeks into the, we're in week 8 of the season, and I believe even if they won out, they couldn't get they couldn't get to 12 wins. Is that right? Because they're 3-1, so that's 7 games. They need to. Maybe they can get to it. I'm doing the math wrong, but either way, it's like the idea of Matt Ryan being the savior, you know, the prince who was promised, and all this, and then it all come crumbling down, and Fire Frank seems to be trending every week along with Andrew Luck and all this stuff. It's a perfect, I'll retweet the podcast. If you see a random podcast retweeted on Tuesday night, or maybe I'll quote tweet the No Nonsense podcast page with a link to the article, and y'all can hear our back and forth where he asks what the Titans did in the playoffs, and I asked him how did the Colts do in the playoffs last year. Like, it was a fun back and forth, and I enjoyed it, but it's good to have that kind of done and out of the way already. And so that's my stop the nonsense. It's just, I think we should finally put the kibosh on everything with the Colts organization, put them to bed, you know, bury them 6 feet deep, and then we'll see what happens this offseason, who they trade away, who they fire, which should be everybody, how Jim Irsay takes it, you know, if he's calm and measured or if he goes crazy. Like, well, let's just see how it all goes.
Yeah, just to piggyback on the Colts, I mean, we could talk. We could do a whole episode about them. And this wasn't necessarily my stop the nonsense, but I did find it funny that Frank Reich in the press conference said that he told Matt Ryan, we didn't hold up our end of the bargain here. We promised you one of the top NFL rushing games, and we promised you great protection. And we haven't really, as an offense, delivered on that. Yeah, maybe you shouldn't be trading for someone who's completely reliant on having the best running game in the NFL and the best offensive line in the game. Maybe you shouldn't trade and put all your chips in for a quarterback that is completely dependent on that. I don't know. That's just my personal opinion. I also found it kind of funny that, I mean, this is all a Jim Irsay thing, right? Like, he's the one who's kind of calling the shots at this point. It seems like Frank Reich is on borrowed time and probably Chris Ballard too. But I found it funny that Matt Ryan, like, they had said he had a shoulder injury, but they didn't, like, outright say that that's why he was being benched. Like, they just came out and said, he's done for the whole year. That's it. Dude, you had the perfect out. That was, like, the PR goldmine right there. Just, he's injured. He can't play right now. Can't play to the best of his ability. We're going with Sam Ellinger for the foreseeable future. But no, they needed to make this look as bad as humanly possible. It was
so weird. They spiked the ball. Like, essentially, it came out in waves where they're like, sources say they're going to bench Matt Ryan. And then it was like, actually, he has a shoulder injury, and that's why he's getting benched. And then they came out and clarified it, and they said, no, like, it must have been Frank Reich who was the one who did it, because it's Frank Reich versus Chris Ballard. And it has been since last year when I posted right after the Colts season was over. There was like this 6-minute long clip, and I think it was Florio on one side, and it was basically just him and a guest like laying into Frank Reich, and it was so clear that it was Chris Ballard says, you know, like, release the hounds, like, make it look like I gave him every chance to win with my talent, and he didn't because he's in it. It was so clear. Then a week later, Jim Irsay was talking about how the Titans have the Colts on a leash. Like, I think this is his direct quote. And then, you know, it's been a civil war in there, no matter what anybody says. And now it's like Matt Ryan's only getting benched because he's hurt, which is the Chris Ballard spin on it. And it's actually, no, he's bad, and we need to try something else. And that's the Frank Reich spin on it. So complete chaos. Like, I don't know. I think Frank Reich is plus 400 to be the next head coach fired. And I would absolutely jump on that if I was anybody else. Like, Hackett is the guy in front of him, but I don't think they're going to fire Hackett after 1 year, or at least not in the middle of the season. And so, like, I think Kingsbury might be in front of him too, but I don't think they're going to fire Cliff Kingsbury right this second. So, I mean, Frank Reich, you could be listening to this and Jim Irsay could have just gotten a wild hair and he fired him overnight on Tuesday, and we don't know it yet. But it's just like, you're right, though. Like, them just essentially, like, owning themselves in an attempt to get, like, the upper hand is so funny to watch.
Yeah, that was hilarious. That there's just severe dysfunction within that organization. And I'm glad it's finally coming to light. The Chris Ballard's PR campaign is finally coming to an end, it seems. I mean, if he survives this season, then I don't understand anything about anything. But anyway, that wasn't really my stop to nonsense. I guess it was part of it. But there was another tweet. It concerned an AFC South team as well. It was from friend of the pod. Just kidding. He's not, I've never even heard of him. Tyler Whitmore. I don't know what he does, but he tweeted something about the Jaguars. He tweeted, when James Robinson touches the ball over 12 times, the Jaguars are 2-0. When he touches the ball less than that, the Jaguars are 0-5. The Jags, after starting 2-1, now lose 4 straight since Travis Etienne has taken the reins at running back. I mean, you want to talk about correlation and causation not having anything to do with one another? I mean, what? Why does that matter at all? Also, when we already know that the reason these plodding running backs get a lot of touches and they have a lot of touches in games where their teams win, it's because their team is winning. And that's why they get more touches, because these teams want to run out the clock. By the way, he didn't mention the fact that Travis Etienne over the past 3 weeks has like over 300 yards of total offense. He's been the only good player on the Jaguars. Meanwhile, Trevor Lawrence has completely regressed. The receivers don't look good at all. The offensive line is struggling. Etienne has been their only shining light. He's the only one that's making any explosive plays, but he just completely decided to keep that out. And the fact that James Robinson has been one of the least efficient running backs in the entire NFL this season. He's completely made almost all of his production on, I think, two long runs. One of them was against the Chargers, and the other one, I think, was against the Colts. In that win. I don't understand. Like, well, what are we doing here? Why are we caping up for James Robinson when he hasn't even been that good this year? And ETN has been their best player. It's super weird. I don't know what that was about.
Yeah, like, Trevor Lawrence has been... I mean, look, he's not been as bad as last year, if that's a benefit to anybody. But he has, if you include rushing touchdowns, he has six touchdowns, three interceptions, and four fumbles in his last... And these are fumbles lost, not just fumbles, in his last four games. So, like, basically averaging... two turnovers and like 1.5 touchdowns per game over the last four games. But just going back to the first point, like, it's so crazy to me that this stat isn't more popular. But whenever somebody says that whenever such and such gets 10 plus carries or whatever, they should just quote tweet it and say, when the starting quarterback has 3+ kneel downs, this team is X and X. And, because it's the same thing.
It's the worst stat. Like, the two Jaguars wins that he's mentioning, that James Robinson touched the ball over 12 times, the Jaguars won 24-0 against the Colts and 38-10 against the Chargers. Obviously, he's going to get more touches in those games that are just complete blowouts. It's, oh my God. And the fact that this had like 800 likes, 80 retweets, what are we doing? How are people falling for this?
People are so desperate for any excuse. I don't know. Jaguars fans want hope. And then if you're somebody who's looking to throw it in their face later, you like those tweets. Because I'm sure I liked that tweet just to throw it in their face later. But it's just like, you don't have to explain to me delusion. Like, I've been a Titans fan during the dark times when... That, you know, when they had, what was it, 5 wins in 2 years? They were 2-14 and 3-13 in those years. Like, 5 wins in 2 years, I get it. Like, delusion is a powerful drug, and you want to talk yourself into reasons why you're not wasting your time when you're watching these players and why some of them may matter. There's a good chance that by the end of the year, Trevor Lawrence is not the odd man out, because I think they're going to keep moving pieces until they run out of his rookie contract and have to make a decision where they're going to pay him, but to where somebody's going to get fired. Like, somebody's going to get fired, or somebody's going to have like a role change or something, because he's not getting better. Like, I said, he's not as bad as he was last year, and he's not, but it's not astronomically better. I mean, it's like for other, you know, not that quarterbacks develop very well anyway, but like for other quarterbacks who have grown into the, like, Lamar Jackson, Justin Herbert, like, you know, obviously Patrick Mahomes, but even that's too high of a standard, obviously. But like, even Josh Allen, it's not like the growth we're seeing is not very good. And it's not like, oh, he's got a whole bunch of games left to play. I mean, they've already played 7 games. Like, they've got 10 more games. They're almost at the halfway point of the season, and they're 2-5. He has he's 5-19 in his career. I'm looking at it now. He's 21-21 touchdown interception ratio. Like, I don't know. I don't know what you do with it. It's sort of right in the middle.
I just saw a crazy stat. Trevor Lawrence is 1-19 in games where the defense allows more than 11 points.
That is insane.
That is insane. What? No, that's crazy. That's not good. And I'm not saying it's all his fault. I do think he took a little bit of a step this year, but obviously not as much as you would expect from a number one overall pick. And something I've noticed this year, I don't know what's up with his arm, but he's like, sometimes he rockets the ball in, and other times the ball is like a Matt Ryan duck that doesn't get to its place. And I don't know if maybe he's injured or something, but it's not looking like freshman year Clemson, Trevor Lawrence, and I don't know if we're ever going to get that at this point, to be honest.
No, and you really don't see these guys have that sort of like disappointing thing without like an injury or like, you know, it just, I don't know. Like I think somebody put up his map and it's like, if he's, you know, you were talking about like the ball just like not coming out of his hand, right? It's like, if it's like more than 15 yards down the field, it's like, it's going to be like, you almost want to play cover three against it. Cause it's like, all you got to do is make him throw it more than 15 yards once. Cause it'll go directly over the receiver and into a defensive back's hands. Like, that they have to play like short and controlled, and eventually people are going to start treating him like the quarterback he is, and they're going to put eight in the box and make them do something. So I don't know. It's got to be tough if you're a Jaguars fan, because if by chance you're listening to this as a Jaguars fan, I appreciate you, because I don't know why you're listening to this other than the fact that you must just love us. But you know, that sort of situation where you have to hear this and you have to be like, huh, they're wrong, but you've seen like dozens of games at this point where we're right. Like, you have, even the most confident Jaguars fan has to be like, that guy is right. Like, Blake Bortles did do more for us than this. Like, I mean, because we're close to it getting real nasty, because I will retweet anybody who says that Blake Bortles is better than Trevor Lawrence just for the chaos, but it's starting to feel a little bit accurate.
Yeah. Shout out Blake Bortles, the best Jaguars quarterback possibly in history. Just kidding.
He was gone too soon.
Yeah. he flamed out quickly, but yeah, he wasn't very good, except for that 1 year. Man, the Jaguars, they should have won the Super Bowl that year. That was that was their chance, because I don't think they're going to get one again for a really, really long time. But we'll see. Anything's possible in the NFL. That's going to do it for us. We'll be back next week to hopefully recap Titans win over the Texans and preview their Week 9 game against someone that I don't know who the opponent is. That'll do it for us.
Chiefs.
Oh my God. Oh wow, the Chiefs. That's a big game. Okay, yeah. That'll be a fun preview show for sure. Finally, a team that we can actually talk a little bit about, and that's actually interesting on the offensive side of the ball, at least, because these last couple of weeks, oh man, some of these teams that we've talked about are just boring and terrible. So that'll be fun. That'll do it for us. Thanks for tuning in, and remember to always stop the nonsense.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.